What's up, you guys? Welcome back to Tending to the Badass Momcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Sheena, and I want to say thanks for listening, thanks for joining, thanks for sharing. We are almost at 400 listens, and that is super huge, considering we took a week off last week. My grandmother, she passed away. She transitioned on to the other upper room, and I took a week to be with my family and to get all our final arrangements set up. So we are back at it. I'm not going to talk in detail about her just yet. Everything's cool. I'm cool for the most part. And I just want to thank you guys again for being patient, for continuing to listen to the podcast, for catching up, for reaching out, and letting me know that you're listening, sharing your ideas with me. I have some great stuff in the hopper. Thanks to you guys. And so we'll just jump in. Today, it's all about life after. And our specific topic in life after is the joys of co-parenting. So you guys know that I don't want to say I'm recently divorced, but I've been divorced in the last couple of years. And my awesome ex-husband and I have kids together. So we had to make a point to figure out what our relationship looked like going forward and what it looked like, what we looked like as a family. So I just want to take a little bit of time to kind of talk through how we have come to be, I think, pretty awesome co-parents, and some tips and tricks that we can share with you guys to maybe help your co-parenting experience be a little bit better. When I'm not recording for Tending to the Badass Momcast, I am running my small business, Sheenballa. Check out sheenballa.com for some unique custom pieces that help express your uniqueness and beauty. We specialize in custom jewelry that express you as a person, as a friend, as a lover, as whatever you want to be expressed as. So check us out at sheenballa.com. And on all our social media pages, also at Sheenballa. And check us out on Thursday nights for Thursday Night Live on Facebook. As with any relationship, co-parenting requires communication. If I can't give you any more tips, communication is the number one key factor. You have to communicate about everything. You probably have to communicate more as a co-parent than you do as a relationship, because normally in a relationship, you only kind of report to each other. Like, the relationship is only dependent on you two, whereas now that you're a co-parent, you aren't both in the same household, so you have to communicate things about your children, about your family to each other in a way that supports your entire family. There are times where the kids may need something, or even I need something. Like, you know, I'm a mom and I do a million things. So sometimes I'll have to reach out to Wood and just be like, yo, I need a break. I just need a day. Can you get the kids? And we understand that there are some times where even he's going to say, you know, I just need some time because, you know, I want to do these things. I want to go hang out. He's a truck driver, so he doesn't spend a whole lot of time at home. So it's unrealistic for me to think that, oh, because he's home, he's going to have the kids. Well, he got to have a life too. So communicating that between the two of us has helped us extremely in our co-parenting journey. So even beyond communication, when we were in the process of figuring out what we were going to do with our marriage, we did counseling. And in those counseling sessions, it gave us the ability to talk through a lot of things that we had animosity about, things that we were unsure about in our own relationship. And I think that it allowed us to separate amiably, to separate in a way where we didn't have a lot of animosity. Some things only time will heal. So I will clarify that. It wasn't all peaches and cream when we separated. There was still a lot of hurt there. There was still a lot of pain there, but it wasn't to the extreme that we couldn't like see each other. I can't be around you. I can't talk to you. And then when we did, we understood, the both of us, we love our boys. We love our kids. So we said, if nothing else, we have to do everything that we can do, regardless of how long it takes, to do what we can to make the boys' life the best. So we both make a point to communicate, even when it's hard, even when it's frustrating. We have a plan that we you know, both acting, and we have to be reasonable with each other. So communication, again, is key in any relationship that you have, because co-parenting is absolutely a relationship. It is not one person keeping kids. This is not a babysitter situation. Co-parenting is, to me, in my experience, it's different than who has custodial, you know, responsibility of the child. It's beyond that. It is what you can do together to raise your children. Not even to say as if you're in the same household, but as if your parents are on one accord. So for us, we have goals and we have things that we want to instill in our children. And we both support those things. Jalen, my oldest son, he does fingerboarding. So we both do things that support Jalen's fingerboarding and his skateboarding. And Jackson, he, you know, has things that he likes. And we both do things that support them. Another thing is respect. No one owes you anything, and you don't owe anybody anything. The only thing you owe is to the kids. So when you're branching out into other relationships, or when you are even some things, like I said, sometimes I get frustrated, I get tired, and it's not an excuse for me to lose respect for the other person. You have to always operate in a way that your children are watching. So if they see you operate in a way that is disrespectful to their parent, you run the risk of them being disrespectful and them learning that disrespect to their partner or to another person. Your kids are always watching. So when you're communicating with your partner, I'm going to say partner for lack of better words, because you are together. You're a partner in raising your children. So, you know, obviously you're not together anymore, but you're still a partner in raising your kids. But keep that respect there. Keep the things there that you are teaching your children. You still have to set the example. You still have to operate in a way. Not to say you still have to be lovey-dovey, because that's not what the relationship is. Your kids should know the extent of your relationship. I'm mom and this is dad, or I'm mom and this is mom and I'm dad and this is dad, or whatever your situation looks like. Understand that there still has to be respect. And then even respect for the children. There are some weekends where Jackson doesn't want to go to his dance because he wants to go to church. And Wood has to say, okay, well, just go to church then, you know, or you're not coming with me this weekend. Sometimes Jalen needs a break from Jackson, so just Jackson will go with dad. Or, you know, there's a combination of different things. One weekend Jackson will stay home and Jalen will go. So there are different ways of what respect looks like within your own family. My third point would be honesty. Be honest with each other. Be honest with your children about the severity of the situation. And be honest with yourself. Wood and I had a conversation recently, and I was like, well, you know, you're one of my best friends. He was like, no, you're my associate. And I was hurt. I was like, what do you mean? What do you mean I'm your associate? You know, and I had to sit down and really kind of like level set. And I appreciated his honesty. And I also had to appreciate what his idea of a friend was. So, be honest with each other. Be honest with your kids. Don't have your kids thinking y'all gonna get back together, because that's not the case. If it's not the case, and if it is, then don't confuse your kids. Like, that's not fair to them to think that mom and dad or whatever is gonna get back together. And if you're not, you're just not. And you have to kind of set that boundary with your kid and say, hey, I'm not, this is not what this is. We're doing the best thing for you guys. Statistics show that over 50% of marriages end in divorce, and that 66% of couples who live together or are remarried will break up when children are involved. That is a huge statistic, but it also lets you know that it's more common than it's not. So one thing that we keep into consideration is we'll always be a family, and there are some traditions that we still do as a family. The boys still love to go out to eat with their parents. So we still make a point to go out to eat with them sometimes. You know, every meal is not together, obviously. But there will be times where, you know, I'll take the boys to dinner and I'll call, hey, you got some time? Me and the boys about to go to dinner. You want to come? And we'll all have dinner together, because the kids deserve to have their parents. The kids deserve that. And we don't ever want to be or put them in a situation that they can't have us. Simple as that. Another one of our traditions is the boys put together their Christmas tree, like we do Christmas decorating. And I used to do most of it, but the boys love when their dad comes over. And I do too, because I'm not picking that tree up and I'm not hauling that stuff all over the walls. And I'm not doing all that. But he enjoys spending the time with them to do that. And that's something that we will probably do forever, you know, until, you know, the situation changes where we don't need to do that. But I don't know if, you know, I would hope that if I were or he were to remarry or to, you know, be in another serious relationship, that that would be a tradition for the kids that we could continue, because that is something that they love. And granted, Jalen, he'll, you know, be out of the house at some point in the next 5 years. Jackson is still little, so that'll be something he'll want to do forever, and that boy adores his dad. So to keep traditions the same, like, we didn't put up our Christmas tree until dad was able to come over. And that was just, there was no question about that, because I wanted to put it up last week. But I know, but we ended up going to Florida last week. So when I got back, it was like, oh, when can you come? Because the boys are ready to put up the tree. So that is something that we still do for the boys' sports. You know, when they're enrolling in sports, that is something that we share. He loves sports. Their dad loves sports. So he makes a point to be in their lives and to, like, take them to games and then to take them to practice for the sports that they play. And mom will show up every now and then, you know, hey, good job, you guys. But that's their thing. And I don't want to ruin the tradition and the habits that they have with their dad. He's very much a part of their everyday life. This isn't a custody situation. This is, you know, I'm just at mom's house right now. I'm just at dad's house right now. But it's both our house. It's both our parents. There isn't a separation. I try to take the time to make sure that their room at his house is decorated in a way that makes them feel like home. It's not like, oh, we got to go to dad's house, or, oh, I want to go home. Both places are home for our kids. And they're both set up in a way that supports them, whatever they want to do. So that is something to keep in mind. I see a lot of conversations. Oh, I sent my kid to their dad's house with this, or I didn't send him with anything at all. Oh, dad should have that, this, that, and the other. I'm kind of on the fence about that. There are some staples, like they have toothbrushes there and toothbrushes at home. And, you know, there are things that they have at home that they don't have at his house, just like there are things that they don't have at home or at my house that they have at his house. We don't take toys back and forth. They have more than enough toys and things to keep them occupied there, where, you know, at home it's the same scenario. And the things that they find comfort in, they have in both places. And we make sure to maintain that between the two of them and between the two of us, to say, hey, do you need more of this? Do you need more of that? You know, oh, I can drop him off in the morning. He has clothes here. No big deal. So that is something. Now, kids do grow. So to have a full wardrobe at both places just doesn't make any sense, in my opinion. Like, to send your kid, you know, with clothes, sure, that's a thing. But to think that, you know, somewhere they're not living primarily would be, like, fully stocked with everything that they need, I don't think that's realistic. Because, like I said, kids grow too damn fast for that. One day, Jax, you know, might fit a 4T, and then the next day he doesn't. He's in a 5T. So just keep those types of things in mind. Just make sure that there is space for them to be themselves in both places. You know, you don't want your kids sleeping on the couch when they come over, or, you know, sleeping in somewhere else when they come over. It is imperative for your kids to be comfortable in both places. When I think back to my childhood, it was, you know, oh, you can come here, but you're, you know, in this space. This is your little space. It wasn't that I was comfortable or made comfortable when I went to visit my dad. So it's just like, oh, you're here for the weekend. You know, here's a pullout couch. And we wanted to avoid that at all costs with our kids, because we wanted to make sure that both places were home for them. Create new traditions. So there are going to be times where you both can't be there. Create traditions and create things that you have individually with your kids, because you still have a relationship with your children. And always, we are really big on not talking down about the other parent. There has never been a time where my children or anyone really has ever heard me say anything negative about their dad. And on the other side, at least they've never told me that he has. And I don't feel like that. That's just not what our relationship is anymore. You know, there's no reason to talk down to your kids about their other parent or anybody else. Everyone has to, you know, be a part of their family, that family dynamic. So when the boys are with him, they go over to his family's house. And just like the boys are with me, they, you know, we go to Florida, we go to Virginia, because that's where our family lives. And it's never a situation where they have to worry about someone talking bad about their dad, because that doesn't fly. That, you know, there's nothing bad to say, really. But just making sure that they understand that just because we're not together doesn't mean that it's a failure. I mean, clearly, we just read the statistic that, you know, almost half of marriages end in divorce. So there are times, there are things that happen in your life that, you know, sometimes you have to make the decision to change, you know, when you're unhappy. So that in itself is another layer of making sure that you're doing what's best for your kids. If you're bickering and arguing all the time, you're not happy, like you're not content, you're not fulfilled, then consider that. There's no shame in that, because your kid has to see that, and your kid feels that energy. When you touch them, they feel that energy. So knowing that you're not happy, that transfers over to them. And to think that the energy or the atmosphere, the circumstances they're being raised in is anything less than optimal should make you think more as a parent. So I'm not going to, you know, go too deep into like the metaphysical side of energy and feelings and how it transfers from person to person. But if you think about, even as a baby, think about when you had a baby or when your partner had the baby, when your kid was first born, the first thing they do is lay the naked baby on your naked chest, that skin to skin contact. And that is imperative to the life of your child at that very moment. And that, I don't believe for us as humans, goes away. So they feel that energy. If you know me, or like my mom, she always teases. And even sometimes I have to set up a wall with my son and say, Jalen, I can't hug you right now because my energy is not right. And I don't want to transfer my negative energy as a woman at church, that we ask each other, is your energy good? Because we both have that understanding. She understands my bubble. A lot of people don't understand your bubble. You know, protect that bubble, protect yourself from your energy and from the energy of other people, because you have to keep yourself in a space where you have to, you know, be mindful of who you're around, because that will translate to your children. So that's my little rant about that. Another thing about co-parenting and understanding is having to start to think about your partner's next partner. So, you know, that's not typically, like, once you're done with your ex, you're pretty much done. You don't have any, like, responsibility to them, or you don't have to think about who they're in a relationship with. But as co-parents, that's something I have to consider, especially once it starts to get to be long-term, because now that's another person that impacts our kids. That is someone else that has some say-so in their life, especially, like, if they're living together, cohabitating, they're getting married, what have you. That's something that we have to consider now. Now, granted, we aren't at that space yet. We are kind of very slowly getting to the point where even the both of us are kind of opening ourselves up to other relationships. Something that we learned in therapy together was, you know, take the time to really regain yourself, to really know who you are, because you've been in this relationship. And now, you know who you are as in a relationship, but not necessarily as single. So we wanted to make sure to just kind of like regain our bearings, like who we were as a person and what we were as single people. And then, you know, slowly but surely dating other people. And then, like, as we talk through this, we're finding out we're very I don't want to say picky. Picky's probably be a bad word, but like I, you know, as I think of a future partner, I have to think of someone who absolutely is going to get along with my kids and has my children's best interest at heart, but it's also going to get along with Wood, because Wood is a part of our family and he will always be a part of our family. So I have to think about, you know, not to say is Wood going to approve, but is Wood going to approve? So, and then on the same side, you know, he has to consider, you know, is the woman that is in his life, is she someone that is going to do right by our children and is going to, you know, be open to a relationship with me? Because again, at the end of the day, this is my children's father and I'm always going to have his best interest at heart. So I'm very quick to be like, oh no, she good for you. Or like, I'm team you guys. I don't ever want to be in a position where he's not happy. Like, you know, the old saying, you know, I want you happy even if it's not with me. Like, no, obviously if it's not with me, but at any point, my goal is to make sure that you're happy. And if there's anything that I can do, if it is like holding my tongue or speaking my piece or doing what I can to support you in your relationship, you know, obviously if that means, okay, a couple more date nights, like maybe he gets some more during the week so he can spend time with her during the weekend. And vice versa, like, you know, some weekends I get to just not even be bothered. Like, let me just kind of go do my thing and then come back. And, you know, having to work through that has been another layer in our co-parenting. That wasn't always, you know, the best. You know, for a while it was like, I don't want nobody else around my kids. Point blank period. Don't have nobody around my kids. And for a while that, you know, because you learn that you don't know what that relationship looks like, you know, because you're not there every single day. So you don't know, you know, who's around your kid. You don't know what your kid is thinking. Like, what if they become really attached? Like, no one replaces your dad, but, you know, are you going to prefer that other person over your dad or your mom? Or, you know, so that area is very sticky. Allow yourselves time to work through that as a couple, as a partner group, as a family. Because, again, you're still a family, especially if you want it to work. At the end of the day, our goal was to do our best for our kids. And whatever that looks like, we had to completely strip ourselves of what a nuclear family looked like. We were absolutely a blended family. We have a relationship between the two of us. We have relationships with our kids. Our kids have relationships with us. And at some point, we'll have relationships with our partner's partner, our partner's significant other. And we are all one big, sometimes, mostly, almost always happy family. You know, so that is something, and it does, it takes a big person to do that. But again, that goes all the way back to the intro, all the way back to the very like opening thing of communication. Continue to be communicative, continue to keep the door open between the two of you. So that way you don't have any, because mind you, you're not in a relationship. You don't have to answer specifically to this person anymore, but be honest with them. Be honest about your situation. Be honest about, and then sometimes like, can I vent to you? Or can I talk to you? Can I ask your opinion about that? He claims we're associates, but we're friends. And he's going to have to fight me. He's going to have to fight me for that title of friend. Because we are friends. We have to keep ourselves level-headed for the sake of our kids. Our kids are our priority every single day, every moment. And if nothing else, like ourselves are our priority. So in order for our kids to be supported, we have to be supported. So it still goes, you know, me, then the kids. And it still goes him, then the kids. Because if he's not happy, then that reflects. Then that, you know, impacts the kids. Same thing with myself. So we work together to make sure that each of us is happy. So we are doing the best by our kids. So it may look like, oh, we're putting the kids first, but you have to put yourself first in order for your kids to be the bigger benefit or the benefactor of the situation. In closing, co-parenting is a beautiful thing. I have no quarrels about it. For me, I enjoy it better than our relationship, you know, to be completely honest. We took the time to really make a point to do right by our kids, and it it's fulfilling. I don't have any animosity towards him. I don't have any negative views about what we're doing, and our kids love it. Our kids love that their parents are still able to be together, and they're very accepting of other people in our lives, not necessarily just, you know, significant others, but just in general, other people, our family. They understand the dynamic of our family, and we do whatever we can to support them. So I would suggest taking the time to go through therapy, even if it's not couples therapy, but maybe a relationship therapist that can help you, you know, clear some of the air between the two of you, so that way you can make the best decisions for your kids. So if you're at a point where, you know, because at the end of the day, the kids need it. The kids matter more than the hatred that you have towards each other. And I'll go ahead and go on record and say, we don't have like a custody agreement. We don't have a child support agreement. We work together to make sure that our kids have everything that they need. And whatever that looks like, it happens. So there are times where I lack, there are times where he lacks, but our children never do. And that is our one goal. That's our one purpose in our entire agreement, is to make sure that the children are taken care of. So sometimes he has to do more. Sometimes I have to do more. It doesn't matter, because the kids need it, and it's never uneven. It's never, oh, I did this and you didn't. That is so far beyond what either of us are thinking. So like, I'm not going to tell you to man up. I'm not going to tell you to woman up. But when it comes to your children and the bettering of your children, giving your children an environment that they can flourish and thrive, that's absolutely something I would suggest. Go to therapy, even just as a family, or have some type of mediation to say, you know, get whatever you're harboring out on the table so you can proceed and move past. So that way you can give your children the best environment. And when your kids are happy, so are you. And vice versa, when you're happy, your kids are happy. So keep that in mind. Love yourself, pour into yourself. You cannot pour from an empty cup. You can't pour into your children empty. You'll die. You will die trying to pour empty. So make sure you're full. And in that fullness, that means having a great relationship with their parent. That means having a great relationship with them, having a great relationship with you. Make sure that you're communicating, you're being honest, and you're being respectful to your partner, to your children, and to yourself. I will talk to you guys next week. Hit me up if you guys want to join on the podcast. It gets kind of boring talking into this mic by myself every single week. So I would love to talk to you guys. Share your ideas. What do you guys want to hear me talk about? Of course, I clearly have topics to talk about, but I would love to hear what you guys want to hear from me. So be sure to follow on social media. We're on Twitter. I almost said Tinder. I'm not on Tinder, so sorry. Twitter at Tendin2, T-E-N-D-I-N, the number 2. Also on Instagram at Tendin2, T-E-N, the number 2. And we're also going to launch IamSheenaJohnson.com this week. So make sure you're staying close to social medias. And once that is up and running, I'll be sure to let you all know. I will talk to you guys next time. Thanks so much for listening. Share your favorite episode. I'm out.